So this is round 8. This one isn't quite as studied up. I just remember reading this the last couple nights, trying to get ready for it. And some of these are just so, can't even respond. We'll just give it a shot here with some of his comments. Now that we've been through 7 rounds with him, I'm not even sure if Jan's going to be listening to this stuff ever. But his first name is Josh. We can at least go by that anyway. I hope it's been interesting for you to find out what it is these Bible people are teaching and what they're saying and how they manipulate the Scriptures. Now, in Peter, it says that they wrest the Scriptures. Paul doesn't say that. He just says that they're destitute of the truth and they have no clue what's going on. But and we get into the tribulation, and in 2 Peter there, take a second, it might be 1 Peter. He says that they wrest the Scriptures. They wrestle. They twist them. And they're messing with the Scriptures. Then they're messing with what Paul says. That's what he's talking about. I guess I might as well look it up for those out there sometime that don't know what verses we're talking about here. It's in 1 Peter. Nah, it's probably 2 Peter. 2 Peter verse 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, which, you know, it makes sense during the tribulation. He'll still wait. Even as a beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, that has to be Hebrews, as also in all his epistles. See, there's a difference there. As he also said in his epistles, which were to the Gentiles, of which the Jews could have part of if they so chose, in which are some things hard to be understood. They don't understand what Paul says. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. So they're trying to fit this Paul stuff into this tribulation, and it's not going to work. So what we see with people today, these preacher guys and preacher boys, as they like to call the pre-graduates and all that stuff, they're wresting the Scriptures, trying to make them fit with what they believe. And when the tribulation is actually here, then they'll finally jump into Paul's stuff, and they'll try to make them fit, and they won't. Which only makes sense. You know, the devil is going to take the stuff that's written today to us, the Paul from stuff, and try to block us from it. Because that's the truth. Then when he gets into the tribulation, he's going to teach them the signs and lying wonders. He's going to try to teach them the Paul stuff, because during the tribulation, that is not the truth. It's the wrong gospel. So, that's just how he works. You can bet that everybody would be loving the Paul stuff in the tribulation, but it isn't going to fit what's going on it's not going to fit. That's just the way it is. And what will fit will be Peter, James, John, Jude, but they'll be kept away from that stuff. Okay, so here's what old Josh M. says in one of his emails here to me back in July. Rightly dividing by Paul only is riddled with contradictions. Well, we've already been through enough of his contradictions to show that none of them are contradictions. However, if you're trying to merge the whole Bible in with Paul, you are going to have a bunch of contradictions. So just the fact that he says trying to do this by Paul only is riddled with contradictions ought to tell him, then yes, you're right. Quit trying to fit all that other stuff in with Paul, or try to fit Paul into this other stuff, because it's not going to fit. And you think it's riddled with contradictions. JM, they don't fit. Well, I'll go on to that anyway. I gave you a list of how the claims that the Paul guys make, and how their assertions contradict Scripture. Right. Paul's teachings are going to contradict the rest of the Bible. Now, there are some things in there that Paul teaches that were taught in the Beatitudes, were taught in the Gospels. There are things in there that will be taught during the tribulation, because it's still facts, it's still about Christ, da-da-da-da, all the doctrinal stuff as such. But they're not going to match the rest of the Bible. He says, many of the Scriptures that contradict, rightly divided by Paul only, are from Paul's epistles. Now, there, we'll challenge that one. You can't reconcile contradictions in Scripture by a doctrine that itself contradicts Scripture. Well, Paul does not contradict himself anywhere, so we'll go on and try to find what he says about some of these things. Maybe you can try to explain the apparent contradictions that I gave you. Well, that's what we've been doing. He says here, Oh, by the way, when he says, "I gave you the list of how the claims that the Paul guys make," I would have to ask him, who do you think are the Paul guys? And who do you think we are? Do you think we're mid-acts? That's a Paul guy. We're not mid-acts. How about the hyper dispensation? We're not hyper. We don't just stay in one section of the Bible only. What have we got here? That's good enough. I can't read my notes here. Paul, we know there's Paul people out there that don't do the standards at all. They twist this and they twist that, and there's more and more Paul people coming in the public awareness, because the devil's got to destroy, you know, what the truth is. So give some Paul guy that's got some false teachings, give him a lot of media coverage, and, you know, that kind of a thing. Just like that goon down there in the South that says God hates fags, and he's a King James only guy. That doesn't help the cause any at all. So he says here, for example, you say that the Great Commission is not for today. But Matthew 24:14 would seem to contradict that. Okay, let's see what he's trying to show us. Matthew 24:14. What he's trying to get us to see here, 24:14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses for a pretense, make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Whoops, wrong chapter. There we go. 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay. So you're saying that that's a contradiction to show that the Great Commission is for today? Not at all, J.M., because this gospel of the kingdom is not what Paul preaches. Paul preaches the gospel of the kingdom of God. So the gospel here is a different kind of gospel. This is a gospel of the kingdom of God. This isn't earthly. This is for an established earthly throne. Yes, and the time was there that that's what was going to be preached. And it was going to be witnessed unto all nations. And then the end would come. Yes, that's the way it was geared up to be. But see, he drops the Paul thing in. And this is why Hebrews, which is to the Jews by Paul, but from first, you know, James all the way through to Jude, gets inserted between this portion right here in Matthew and the actual tribulation itself, which is written in Revelation. So, of course, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Yeah, we're not going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. You get into Revelation, I think it's Revelation 14. Let's look and see here. Revelation either 14 or 16. Now, what's Revelation 14? Revelation 14:6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, every nation, every kindred, and tongue, and people. So there's that everlasting gospel to preach to everybody on the earth, and what's preached in Matthew is the gospel of the kingdom. Neither one of those are what Paul preaches. Are there tough passages to reconcile if you do not believe in Paul, he asks? He says, I admit there are. Okay. He admits the fact that there are things that he cannot explain. I know one of them is 1 John 1:9, so we're asking him, if you confess your sins, are you saved? Are you forgiven? That's what it says. Is being forgiven saved? And he can't answer. Well, yeah. There are. You can't answer those if you're not going to go Paul only. Then he says, however, it would be illogical. See, there's that however. I don't have the answers to these, but there's an explanation. That's what they come up with. However, it would be illogical to explain these contradictions away by rightly dividing by Paul, since that itself has many contradictions. Now, he hasn't proven that yet, but that's what he's going to say. I still listen to your sermons, but please do consider the many contradictions that riddle rightly dividing by Paul only. I would like it very much if you could address these contradictions. Even better, make a sermon or a series of sermons addressing. Well, J.M., here's your chance. We're on sermon number 8. So, for him to say that the Great Commission is not for today, based on Matthew 24:14, and which we'll see here earlier, later tonight, he doesn't believe in where Paul just gets dropped in and inserted here. Again, it's just not understanding your Bible. They look at this Bible as one book, to, you know, for everybody. And you just pick and choose what you see fitting, and if the other doesn't fit, doesn't make sense, then you just don't try to deal with it. So, anyway, we are showing that, yes, JM, there would be contradictions all over the place if you tried to compare, try to mix Paul's writings with the Gospels. Yeah, you got contradictions galore. You want to mix Paul with the Hebrews to Jude. Yeah, you are coming up with contradictions. You want to go back to the Levitical law, which I know you say we do. Then, yeah, major contradictions. So to explain them away, yeah, you just go back to Paul only and you get rid of the contradictions. Just like, I'm not sure where it's at, talks about probably Timothy or something, talks about private interpretation. Paul doesn't worry about private interpretation. The scriptures are too plain and simple. Private interpretation is mentioned during the tribulation, if I remember where this thing is correctly. And yes, they will be trying to make something out of it because they were supposed to know everything. So, yeah, there are contradictions. I agree. If you try to mix Paul with the rest of that Bible, but you get rid of the contradictions by going Paul only, and that's what we've been doing here. Well, let's go to Proverbs 20. Here's another one. He says. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, verse 24. That's Psalms. Okay, let's go to Proverbs. Boy, I'm just tired tonight. I know you guys come home from work tired. I know you do, Peter and Mark. Daniel, I'm not sure what you do, but I know that I should know that's just a bad memory block here. But taking care of your mom and your family back and forth, I don't know. We're all just tired. I know we are. And the news just makes you tired. It's like now they're talking about suspending the elections. Like we've never been saying that. Martial law. Yeah, that's where we're going. Anyway, isn't that amazing? They better suspend the elections because they're liable to lose a bunch of their people. Well, relax, world. The Republicans are no better, so don't worry about it. Okay. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, where he says, Proverbs 20, I still got to get this right. Sorry, we'll start over here. Proverbs 20, verse 24. There we go. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Okay. According to your form of dispensationalism, J.M. writes, God used to be like that. He no longer is like that. All those verses I gave in Daniel, Proverbs, Lamentations, etc., you seem like you believe God is not that way anymore. Wouldn't that be God changing? No. God is not changing. God changed things, but he didn't change him. He took care of the law. He got Romans 10, 3 and 4. He didn't change his way. God still hates what he hates. He still hates. You want to know what God still hates? Read Leviticus. Read Numbers and Deuteronomy. He still hates that stuff. He just provided the way out. He provided the payment. He paid for that stuff himself. The sin that the world took on in the garden, God himself paid for that. He didn't change himself. He just made the penalty paid for. And now he got rid of the law for the believer. And it's not going to be, the stuff will not be imputed. And he fixed things is what he did. But he didn't change who he is. So no, that is not God changing. Then he says, obviously. Whenever these guys say obviously, you know it's not obvious. Because I have no idea what they're trying to get across here. None of the Old Testament saints got saved by the works of the law. He goes to Galatians chapter 3. Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Just dropped the microphone. Galatians chapter 3 says in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Well, excuse me, J.M., but you can't go to the New Testament to prove a doctrine in the Old Testament. How do you go about doing that? I don't understand why you would do that. Anyway, Paul said it was evident that no man is justified by the law based on Habakkuk 2:4. Okay. We know what Habakkuk 2:4 is, but let's go there anyway. We need to practice to go in those little books anyway back there. Habakkuk 2:4, where it says, the just shall live by his faith. Well, then you go. We'll come back to this. He says, if Habakkuk 2:4 makes it evident that no man is justified by the works of the law, he doesn't make that evident, but anyway, then the Old Testament saints did not get saved by works. They got saved by faith. Their faith looked forward to the cross. Ours looks back. You've heard that a million times, I'm sure. Look forward to it, look past, look back, look behind it. Okay, so if he's going to say that Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith in the Old Testament will cause these people to do certain things, good or bad, and it's their faith. They lose their faith, they're up a creek. The lady in Matthew, he never saw anybody with so much faith, so he did step up to the plate for her. But it's their faith they have to have. And if you don't think that these people had to be saved by works, I have no idea what Old Testament you've been reading. We'll come to it in a second here. Now, when he says look forward to the cross, ours looks back. Ours doesn't look back. Ours looks forward beyond the cross. That's my whole point that started this thing years ago, was that the Christian should live the crucified life. Yeah, Paul says I care, you know, whether I'm the crucified or not, but somebody who's crucified, and the Testament says that the New Testament begins after the death of the testator, then yes, that crucifixion was very important, and it's a historical thing. But once that thing was over, we have a new doctrine. We have a new testator. All things are become new. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, and Paul says in Romans, I think it's 8, or is it 4? Maybe it's 10. I think it might be 10. Justified. Yeah. Come on, where's it where Paul says justified by faith here? There it is. Romans 4:17, 10:17. So then faith... No, that's not the one I want. Isn't it 4? Anybody write anything there? 1 Corinthians 2? What's that? Hang on, we're looking for... There, Romans chapter 5. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Yeah, it doesn't say by our faith. If you do a little study in JM, you'll find out the faith that we have gives us the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's why we have the peace with God, is because, not because of our faith. Our faith gives us the faith of Jesus Christ, and that's in Galatians. So what you're trying to say here is these people had a faith, so they got saved by faith just like we do today. And now, and just as I remember all these guys, all these Baptist guys that would come through, Romans 3:28. That's the other one, isn't it? Yeah, just therefore we conclude a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Yeah, this is the New Testament, damn. This is Paul. This is all things are become new. It's a different faith now. When it says in Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith, that his is not talking about Christ's faith at all. And we go through the Paul's writings, especially in Galatians, and we find out about the faith of Jesus Christ is imputed to us. It's not our faith. And those people had to have their faith in their Old Testament days and do the right thing because of their strong faith. They could get through it. And that's the Hebrews 11 chapter. So yeah, they were saved by works. Okay. So now let's keep going on here. I don't want to miss anything here. Where he says the faith, they look back, they look forward to the cross, and say we're supposed to look back to the cross. No, we're supposed to look past the cross, beyond the cross today. That's what Paul. Hebrews 11:13. This is your faith chapter. These all died in faith. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. So they didn't know, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. How do they see them afar off? When we look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, nobody, I mean nobody, knew this was coming. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. Yeah, they didn't know anything about this stuff with Paul coming up here. They had no clue. And then when you say, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, that just set the answer for your next question. Why do you think, when Peter talks about strangers and pilgrims, why do you think that that's referring to the Jews and not the Gentiles? Because it says right here in Hebrews 11:13 that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They themselves even called themselves that. So there's that kind of a two birds with one stone thing there. There's a one bird with two stones. I don't know. Let's keep going, JM. Another thing you said was that if the Jews accepted Christ in the book of Acts, then they would have immediately gone into the tribulation. Where do you get that? First of all, nowhere does it say anybody needs to accept Christ. Unless I'm wrong here. I don't remember anybody has to accept Christ. Again, that's our talk. Just like being born again. Have you accepted Christ? Accepted what? You know? Then they would have gone into the tribulation. Where do you get that? It seems clear to me that if they had accepted Christ, the millennium would have happened, not the tribulation. I got that question asked somewhere else in here, too, here. We'll just try to do it now, say the thing. So where do you get that? The fact that if it wasn't for them killing Stephen, let's go to Acts 7. 7, 8, 9, that kind of a thing. I don't know how you can miss this, J.L. Well, unless you're going by what you've been taught and you're not reading your scriptures. So, first of all, the Jews don't have to accept Christ. Gentiles don't have to accept Christ either. We trust and believe. Anyway. Okay. In chapter 7, this is where Stephen meets his demise. So then we say that we get into chapter 8, which is still kind of a transitional chapter there. If you look at it really close, you got Simon the sorcerer, you know, and Philip and the Lord, and some crazy things that go on. But we get into chapter 9, which is the next one. We get right into Paul, and suddenly the subject changes to the Gentiles. That's one place. Another place you can get this whole teaching, the fact that the tribulation, if it was in there, would be going on today and before the books of Paul, were because look at where the tribulation books are at. They're after Paul. Peter, he's just, you know, apostle to the circumcision. You got James, an apostle. You've got Jude. You got John, pretty much writing the same things he wrote in the Gospels in some ways, only more stricter because during the tribulation you will get hammered for not doing the right thing. So just the fact that they're where they belong in the book is a dispensational book. And I know that you got further down the notes here, you say that the Bible is not in dispensational order. The proof is Job. Why? That's just a historical book. I don't even understand why you think Job is a proof that there's no such thing as a dispensationally ordered Bible. Because everything sure falls into place. When you look at the books and you look at the summary of each book and what's going on, by the time Paul is done, it's time to get back to the first stuff. Now, here's the third thing Why does this fit in the middle of this? And look at Romans chapter 11. Why is it that you're asking me? Why do you ask me that? Where do you get this fact that the stuff with Paul kind of dropped between the Jews and Paul kind of a thing? Well, okay. And the fourth thing I forgot, I just kind of mentioned it. The fourth thing is look at who the writers are. After Paul, Peter, James, John, Jude. I mean, they're all part of the gang. So why are they after Paul? Okay, now we're looking here at Romans 11. And you just read through Romans 11 slowly, J.M., your question will be answered. Now he's going to the Gentiles to make the Jews feel that they wish they had done what they were supposed to have done. So God breaks them off, goes to the Gentiles. You don't see that happening right there? I guess the best way for me to tell you to read it is to read it. Just read chapter 11. And you see where we come up with this. It's not a sly little teaching. It's a fact. Look at Matthew 23. We'll keep going here. Matthew 23, verse 39. Matthew 23. Okay, Matthew 23, verse 39 says, Matthew 23, I'm one chapter off. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Okay, so nobody's going to get saved now based on that statement right there. Unless you say that. But if you say that, then you can get all these special blessings. Again, that's that physical kingdom of heaven thing everybody's so caught up into. He says here, Matthew 23:39, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He says, J.M. says, the second coming is all dependent on the Jewish people accepting Christ. Really? Where do you get that? The second coming is all dependent on the Jewish people when the Jews get it all together? Are you kidding? I'll tell you where that's all dependent. First, you got to get through the rapture. Romans 11, 22. Christ has got to... The Gentile whole thing's got to drop down. He's not waiting for the Jews to get it. He's waiting for the Gentiles to not want it. Nowhere does it say the second coming is dependent on the Jewish people accepting Christ. That is not even a biblical term. If they had accepted Christ in Acts, then Christ would have come back and established the Davidic kingdom. He would not have put the Jews through the tribulation. Why not? They killed his son. It was stated he had to take care of that. So read Romans 11 real slowly. You'll find out what God has done, why God has done it, what he's doing to the Gentiles, before the Gentiles, and why when he cuts it off, what it will be like. You're skipping the main portion of the New Testament that was dropped in between Peter and when they killed Stephen. Christ went to Moses, and he's established that kingdom of God through Moses, the apostle. And we are to go to that. That's just fact. Okay, let's do this one here. Here's another one, if that made sense to anybody here. Here's one. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Here we go. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God, will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Okay? Now, And it said, and you have underlined here, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day. Okay? He's not talking about the commandments that Paul and his people teach. It's just, I don't understand it. Why can't these gainsayers just, we all believe that the Old Testament and the New Testament are different. Why is it so wrong to think that, well, Adam and Eve time is different, Noah's time is different? Anyway. And so anyway. Okay, let's look at another one here. Where's my little one here? Let's see if I can't find this and pull this one up. Here we go. Then we'll probably be done and see if this video is working tonight. I have been studying the book of 2 Corinthians this past week, and I have a question, if you don't mind. Right, he has a question. Right. It concerns 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16. 2 Corinthians 6. We're coming here. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, 2 Corinthians. Boy, I just got the sleepies. Oof. That damn stuff is so hard to do, it seems like, lately. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. I'm getting there. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said him, I will dwell them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Okay. And he says, read into Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Okay. Wherefore come up from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Okay? So keep that in mind. We're going to compare these things. Look at Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26:12. Okay? And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. Okay, has anything changed over time? No, not necessarily. But it's been a long time. He's not in an earthly body anymore. Look at Jeremiah 32:8. Now he's trying to show us that these verses in the Old Testament were written to us, and they should be used the same time Paul does, because they're mentioned in Paul. So it's okay to go back to the Old Testament to find the things we should or should not do. Well, okay. Let's we're looking at Leviticus 26. So he's telling us to go back to this stuff. What he's telling us, 26:12. Oh, we did that one already. Jeremiah 32:8. Oh, I'm just too tired. Jeremiah 32:8. I'm sure you guys have worked hard and tired too. I'm not doubting that. Jeremiah 32:8 says, So Hananel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, By my field I pray thee, that this is Ananias, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of the inheritance is thine, and the redemption of is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of God. Now just remember these verses we're reading. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37:27. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the brethren shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel. Even my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Okay? So there's another thing that says you know, these things aren't going to change. Isn't that crazy? So what he says here, he says, none of these verses, none of these were written to us in the technological sense of the word to. I don't know. Paul makes application to us from these old various Old Testament passages, 2 Corinthians 2:16. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2:16. Anybody who has tried to make one of these things come out of the Bible, forget one thing, and that's that the commandments are still listed here that people break. We'll talk about that in a second. 32. Okay, I'm just lost here. 2 Corinthians 6. Is that where 2 Corinthians? We're looking up 32:8, Jeremiah 32:8. We're looking up Ezekiel 37:27. Oh, we did that one. Okay, I'm sorry. Just gone here. 2 Corinthians 6:16. That's where we are. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Which I was starting to read. Right, okay. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all unfaithfulness. There we go. Let us cleanse ourselves. And that's not taught with Paul. It's taught at all. Now, let's go back. Here's the answer I'd answer somebody. If they pull some verses out of the Old Testament, say, we should be following these too because God is not changing, et cetera, et cetera. Let's go back to Leviticus 26. And I want to show you something here. Show these guys one of these days. Now, I hope you're listening in. It's been kind of slow tonight, JM, but just listening to this thing right here. Look at Leviticus 26. Now, I know Leviticus is a lot of law in there. I hope you know that. So he says that Leviticus 26:12 is something we can learn from. And my question is, let's just read it here. 26:12. And I walk among you and be your God and should be my people. That's pretty good. But, I don't know, JM doesn't go on to the rest of this chapter. Because, see, if we can claim that thing in 12, up there, 11 and 12, that God is walking among us and we're going to be fine and dandy here, you know, so go ahead and just walk down the street with your gun in your pocket. Nobody will arrest you because you're right to do that and you end up in jail really unnecessarily. So, keep reading. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments. Okay, so JM, if you're not going to follow what you're telling me, you're not going to follow the law here, follow the teachings. And if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul shall abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but you see, break my covenant, I will do this unto you. Now you read the rest of this chapter, and this is what God's going to do to people today. Do you see any of this happening today? 15. You shall despise my statutes. Well, they're doing that. Your soul abhors my judgments. Okay. So that you will not do all my commandments. Okay. Not as poetic as Paul's, you know, but he's trying to make that point in some respects. I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow in your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And the list goes on. I will set my face against you in 17. It's a terrible thing to hear from God. Now, do we have to follow that? Is Paul teaching that? I don't see where Paul teaches that stuff at all. Go back to 2 Corinthians 7 again, 2 Corinthians 7:1, and this JM ends up with this comment here. The Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Wow, have you done that, JM? So, come on. What's been said about the Old Testament, what God is going to do to the world, to the people, that is not for us to worry about. It just isn't. And you're taking scriptures and you're trying to show contradictions by taking them out of Paul or mixing them up with these other books. And yeah, you're right. It can't be done. So why don't you understand what the white the New Testament here going forward is just not the same as the Old Testament. You cannot combine them. It just can't be done. So these promises in the Old Testament, they don't all match what Paul promises. They just don't. So naturally, come up with this supposed contradiction. No, you take Paul's stuff and you throw out the rest. It's just that simple. You made it so difficult for yourself. Anyway, we'll continue this. Sunday morning. No, I got something else for Sunday morning, but we'll. Yeah. So God is going to dwell among us. No, God is dwelling in me, not among us down here. There's another comment, right? Another way to look at that thing. I just become more and more convinced by going through these things that what you're talking about, JM, and all these people out there that try to merge them all together are just, they really are destitute of the truth. We're watching their reasoning, and it's just not there. It just is not there. There you go, you guys. I'll see you on Sunday morning. Hope you get some good rest.